The first E stands for the word execution. Execution. And the point is this. Jesus was unquestionably dead after being crucified. You see, I used to believe that, Jesus probably just fainted on the cross. Or Jesus maybe faked his death. And then later, when he was put into the tomb, the cool, damp air of the tomb, you know, sort of resuscitated him. And so we don't have a miraculous resurrection that means everything. Actually, we have a fortuitous resuscitation that means nothing. But what does the evidence show? What does the evidence show? Well, first of all, as violent as Mel Gibson's motion picture, The Passion of the Christ, is, the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his passion, that is, his sufferings, were much, much worse than that motion picture portrays. In fact, when I was interviewing Mel at an event, we did an event in front of thousands of college students and then put it on the CCN satellite network. And one of the questions as we were just about to go on stage, and I was talking to him, and then later on stage I brought it up again. We were talking about the R rating for the movie. And I said to Mel, I said, well, you know, you could have toned it down. And he looked at me and he said, dude, I did tone it down. And he had. He had toned the movie down from what actual history shows that a Roman flogging and a crucifixion was actually like. The truth was that Jesus was tied to a post, and he was beaten dozens and dozens of times with whips that had jagged fish bones woven into them, and metal balls, leaden balls, that would create contusions that then the jagged bone would then break open and cut open on his back and on his legs. One witness to a Roman flogging described it this way. The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles and tendons and bowels of the victim were open to exposure. It was a horrifically, ghastly, terrible act, this Roman flogging, that would have left Jesus horribly, horribly injured. In fact, I interviewed Dr. Alexander Metherell, who's a medical doctor, also has a PhD, probably the leading authority in the world on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his sufferings in the beating and in the crucifixion itself. And I asked him about this beating that Jesus endured. And he said, there's no question, but from a medical standpoint, that after this Roman beating, Jesus was in hypovolemic shock, which means that he had lost so much blood that he was in shock. He was in critical condition after the beating itself, before he even got to the cross. And we can see evidence of the hypovolemic shock because of his great thirst that he had on the cross. That's a symptom of hypovolemic shock. We can see it because he was so weakened he couldn't even carry his cross the whole distance. And we can see it in the fact that he died fairly quickly when he was crucified on the cross. But when, after this horrendous beating that left him, you know, on the verge of death itself, he was then crucified, which means the spikes were driven through his wrists, not actually through the hand, but through the wrist, which in the ancient times, the wrist was considered part of the hand. So the spikes were driven through his wrists and through his feet. And then he was hoisted onto the cross to die. Now, death by crucifixion is essentially a process of dying very slowly through asphyxiation. Because what happens when you're hanging on the cross, this puts stress on the intercostal and the deltoid and the pectoral muscles. And consequently, it sort of locks your lungs into the inhaled position. So as you're hanging on the cross, you've got air in your lungs. You can inhale, but you can't exhale. And so in order to exhale, as you're hanging in a low position on the cross, you have to push up in order to loosen the stress on your diaphragm and on your lungs so that you can then exhale. So as you're pushing up, of course, you have a spike through your feet, and of course, your back has been shredded, and so as you push up, your back is scraping against the coarse wood of the cross. And you go up, and then you can exhale and take in another breath and then relax down on the cross until again you have to breathe, and again you have to push up in order to exhale. And it's a process of going up and down on the cross. This is why when the Romans wanted to hasten someone's death by crucifixion, after you've suffered for a while, they would take a mallet and they would come along and they would shatter your shin bones. Because when your shin bones are shattered, you can no longer push up and you die quicker. But as Jesus would have been on the cross and as he would have been going through this process of gasping for air and as he would have been pushing up in order to exhale and then down and up, eventually, exhaustion would take over. And then he wouldn't be able to exhale. And the carbon dioxide in his blood would turn into carbonic acid, and it would increase the acidity of his blood. And this would cause his heartbeat to become erratic, so that he knew that death was at hand. And knowing that death was at hand, that's when Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he died. In fact, the soldiers knew that he was dead, but they wanted to confirm it. And so they came along with the spear, and they thrust it into his side. And as best we can understand, that spear probably punctured his lung and entered into his heart, just to make sure that Jesus was dead. Now, if he hadn't been dead, then when the spear penetrated the pleural cavity, there would have been a sucking sound. And so the Roman soldiers would have known that he wasn't dead yet. But he was dead. He was clearly dead from crucifixion. And plunging that spear into him was just sort of the way of making absolutely positively sure that there was no life left in him. Friends, victims did not come down from the cross alive. You can't fake suffocation.